It's a Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And the IC channel is a LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the cast is just about to begin.
This is episode 954 of the Linux Tech Show. Tonight with me we have Manfry. Welcome.
Hey, it's been a while.
And next up, another one that we haven't had in a while, Flying Rich.
Hey.
And then, of course, as always, we have Joe Boylan.
That's me.
Now, election isn't over yet, is it?
Oh, it's over.
Oh, yeah. Did you win?
Nope, I lost.
Darn.
35% of the vote against the long-term incumbent. I mean, she's been in office for like 12 years now.
Cool.
Plus all the formerly QAnon, now We the People, also won in their spots.
Well, it wasn't a paid position anyway.
Nope, it wasn't a paid position.
So, yeah, hopefully, it was definitely a light experience just watching you go through the election.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You being on Facebook, you got to see quite a bit of it.
Yep. Yep, and just to fill you in, Dan and Rich, he was running for the
Independent School District Board of Trustees, position 4.
Yep. One of the things I noticed that and you had several answers for on Facebook was, you know, people would ask really silly questions, the book questions and stuff like that, about, you know, what books.
Where do you stand about banning books?
Yeah.
Well, I don't.
Yeah. and other things like that, too. Yeah, so, you know, I keep looking at that, and I'm like, do these people really know what a school board does?
Where do you stand on CRT? Where do you stand on transgenders in sports?
Yeah. Yeah, but in Joe's case, he basically said the school district has to do what the Texas Department of Education says to do. So,
yeah, especially when it comes to, like, transgender. I mean, that's based on law. When it comes to CRT, that's also based on law. It's just not well defined yet. There is a law stating that you cannot teach CRT in school, but the definition for CRT isn't supposed to be set in stone until 2025. So,
yep.
What do you do?
Unfortunately, he did not win.
And I had fun though.
Yeah, yeah.
What is CRT?
Critical race theory.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I felt like saying cathode ray tube, and it's like, dude, nobody has cathode ray tubes in school anymore.
Right? You should have. All LEDs, baby.
Yep.
So,
want OLEDs, right? You want the OLEDs.
Right. So Dan and I were kind of excited about some of the Google announcements this week at Google I.O. The keynote was today. They've announced Pixel 7, which is coming in the fall like usual. Today, Pixel Buds Pro, which I'm really interested in because I have some Bluetooth headphones. They work pretty good with my Pixel 6 Pro, but I'm kind of anxious to see what Google will do produce a pair that works better with the Pixel phones. So I'm kind of interested in those. I don't know if I'm going to order them or not, mostly because it's kind of coming in a bad time because I'll just have gotten back from the Southeast Linux Fest, which they do have the call for papers. I think the drop dead on getting things into Southeast Linux Fest committee is May 22nd. But to go back to Google, the more interesting announcements were they're making their own version of a Wear OS watch called the Pixel Watch that comes also this fall. No announcements on price. It's going to have Fitbit integration. I don't know if they're going to have both Fitbit and Google Fit, or if at some point Google Fit's going to go the way of the Dodo since they bought Fitbit. So I'm kind of excited about that. I know Dan, you said we're interested in that too.
Yeah, and I'm going to take a stab on price, and it's going to be between $250 and $300 more than likely.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Most of the watches.
They'll keep it on par with Samsung. You know, the Samsung Galaxy 4, right? And then, which I think is a little bit more than that, if I'm not mistaken, but it'll probably be in that range.
And Rich, which phone did you get?
The Note 10 Ultra.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry, 20 Ultra. 20 Ultra.
Oh, the Note 20 Ultra. Okay. AKA which I didn't the realize last it Note. Was a-
Yeah, I didn't realize it was a year old when I got it. I would have held out.
The last official Note.
Yes, the last official Note. The S22 Ultra is a Note.
For my sausage fingers, I need a stylus. So that's going to keep me with the notes.
Yeah,
they're done making notes.
Yeah.
Well, a note, schmo, whatever they're going to call it. I don't care.
Right. Yeah, but you like your Samsung Gear 3, but would you buy the Pixel Watch over that?
I don't know one watch from another right now, and I was kind of thinking about getting one of the Garmin's, splurging a little
bit.
Yeah. The Garmin Aviation watch looks crazy cool. And again, that's kind of a bougie line item, but it's kind of been something I've been thinking about doing. Financially, things are on the uptick here, so I was thinking about treating myself.
And the upside with the Garmin's is they do have a GPS built into the watch itself.
Yeah, it's a pretty high-end GPS aviation watch I was thinking about getting. Yep. Then again, I got to figure out if I could actually read it with how bad my eyes are now. So, not like they're awful, but, I do... All right, when I fly with my sunglasses, my sunglasses are actually bifocals. So right. I would be able to read the watch.
I know, Joe, you're really not a fan of smartwatches, I think, right?
No, I like my smartwatch.
Oh, okay. I didn't know which one you have.
I got the Frontier, the Gear S3 Frontier.
Okay.
I have two of them.
Okay. Yeah, I forgot you had those.
What, you bought two, fixed one?
No, work? I bought two and fixed two.
There you go.
All right, tell me about what was wrong and how do you fix them?
Well, it's the usual thing that always goes wrong with these. The battery died.
Yep.
One of them also had some slight water damage on the inside, and mostly that was just isopropyl rubbing alcohol and cleaning it up.
Really?
Yeah.
So when it has water damage like that, is it like bridging some connections and the isopropyl alcohol just cleans the crud away?
Well, with that particular one, some rust had accumulated in the bottom that kind of put some space because it had built up so much between the sensors on the bottom and the rest of the board. And cleaning it up, everything works on that one except for the, I think the altimeter, because it doesn't count stairs properly.
Uh-huh. Okay. Huh.
So where did you find these watches? Did it cost you and then what it cost to fix?
It's been like a year, 2 years now almost. And I got them on Facebook Marketplace and I think it was like $25-$30 because they were non-functional.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other one... No, it wasn't just the battery I had to replace on that one. I did have to buy a new motherboard for it, but you can get used ones on Amazon, and I don't think it was that expensive. I think it was only like $30 for that.
Oh, and what the battery cost?
The battery is like, I think, 13, $14.
Oh, jeez, that's nothing.
Yeah,
But it's a
that's
pain in
the
the
one
butt to
thing
put it in,
now.
right?
Yeah.
But not really, not really. I mean,
Really?
Okay.
it snaps together. It's not like I had to bust out the soldering iron or anything.
Yeah,
Because I
okay.
don't remember if I looked at a video on doing that or not, but it's been a while.
That's what I'm afraid of with my Michael Kors is I don't see a really easy way to get into it because I would just replace the battery because the watch itself was pretty nice. It doesn't have the battery life that Wise has, or probably that this upcoming Pixel Watch will have.
Joel, you know
So,
what? With this Mob Boy one that I have, like the when I had the Pixel 4 hooked up to it, I don't know if the Bluetooth was just so freaking chatty that it drained the battery, but as soon as I upgraded my phone, it became less chatty, and the battery on this thing now lasts all day. Like, I mean, it's
Wow.
not even 50% gone by the time I go to stick it on the charger at night.
Yeah, I'll have to look at it, pull it out and see how long it lasts. Because the one thing that, well, my Michael Kors would do the sleep tracking too. But the problem is the battery doesn't last long enough for the day and the sleep tracking. So, and that's what I hope. That's some of the things I hope they fix with the Pixel Watch. And the only other thing that I hope they do is give me the opportunity to choose a metal band or even a canvas band over that silicone rubber thing. Because that's what I never. I can replace it on my Wise Watch, but I haven't yet.
Yeah,
Just
I'm kind of weird. I like metal bands. I don't like,
yeah.
plastic or leather. What was my other watch thing? Oh, my charging base seems like it doesn't work frequently, and I have to reboot it.
On the Wise Watch or
Yeah, no, on the Galaxy S3 Frontier. Seems like every
interesting.
couple of days I got to pull the power on it and reset it because like I'll drop my watch on there. So I wear the watch through the night. When I get up in the morning, I drop it on the charger, jump in the bathroom, and
Right.
usually, after I eat breakfast or whatever, the watch is charged. And I just throw it
Right.
on. And I've noticed that it hasn't been charging, and it seems like I have to actually reboot the charger, unplug it, power cycle it, which is kind of crazy.
But I'll have to
Is
take a
it the
look.
OEM charger or an aftermarket? Because I know aftermarkets are extremely finicky and extremely slow with the
So I
Samsung.
have one OEM and two aftermarket, and I don't even know if they're OEM. But yeah, maybe I'll. But it's the same charger I've been using forever. This is just a new behavior. But that's the weird thing. Oh, Joel, good thing you're on. My Asus router, my RTAC 68U,
Oh yeah.
it kind of flaked out. It still worked, but like at diminished capability.
Did it drop a
And
band?
I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened, but I did a factory reset on it, reloaded every, and it still worked like shit.
I haven't been using mine because when we were in the apartment, I switched to a mesh router system.
Well, that is a
And
mesh router.
well, yeah, you were using yours as a mesh router. You aftermarketed it.
Yeah, you did that. All right, but in my case, I bought the Asus Zen. I forget which one,
So
but.
here's the dumb thing that I did. So that was the only legit Asus router I had. Everything else I have are these T-Mobile personal cell spots.
There's
Okay, the
still
hack
the
thing, yeah.
there's still
And
the same
that's.
thing.
Yeah, so that I just did the firmware hack on the cell spot, and I'm using that as my main router now, as opposed to, I had a couple of them kicking around just because I did some videos on them, so I had some spares, so I just rotated that in. I was gonna buy the new one, but it said, hey, it's available at Best Buy, and it was like at a better price than Amazon, but it
Okay.
was the Best Buy in Miami, which is 2 hours away.
Ooh. Yeah, mine is the Asus Zen Max Mini. Yeah, no, the Zen Wi-Fi AX Mini. Okay. And I have three nodes. I have one in my office. I have one, which is, there's a story on that because it didn't used to live in the office. But as one in the office, there's one in the living room, and then one in my wife's office. But
So why did you go from the AI mesh to that?
it is AI mesh. It's the same thing. It's Asus's
Oh.
mesh system. It's just it's a purpose-built mesh system that Asus has. It was like
Okay,
$300
so
back when
send
I
me your
got
old RTAC 68U.
it. That's my spare, so just in case. Yeah, it still works well. As long as see, my biggest problem and why I went with the mesh
Mine
when I was
doesn't.
in the apartment was it was a very hostile Wi-Fi environment with 50 other
Okay.
hotspots in the apartment building. So once I switched to that, it was much easier and much more reliable. Now, when I first moved in, I did not know up until 2 weeks before we closed that our whole entire neighborhood is fiber from Spectrum. And they give you the hardware, the fiber hardware for nothing. Okay. But unless I wanted them to like leave a fiber hanging on the side of my house and have them drilling holes in my brand new home, then I had to put it in the garage. So they didn't have to do that. Because basically everything was set up so that all that stuff goes to the garage. So when I first got moved in, originally the main node lived in the garage. Not too long ago, though, I went and I bought a coax to internet adapter set, and that set will go gig connection. All right. So what I did was, there is a coax jack in my wall in my office up here. So I put one end there, and then I found which cable it was in the garage, put that on there, and then connected that to the fiber. So then I run the Ethernet from the fiber point to that adapter up to the office. Then my main router node is now in the office. And then I was finally able to use all the rest of the wire, all the other nodes are wired. So all my backhaul on that mesh network is wired. And in my office, when I have machines connected direct to the Ethernet, I get right around 700. It does go slower than 700 from time to time, especially like during the day. It'll go that way because there's so much I'm saving.
No, I'm just
It
looking at
makes.
the AI mesh topology
Right.
on my router, and frickin' I thought it was working. It did show me green. So I have a wired
Okay.
backhaul on my node, and it's
Yep.
showing that it's only running at 10/100 right now. I
Okay.
bought
Ooh,
a at the
okay.
time a super cheapy like 50 or 100-foot cable. So I did buy a new cable to
I
put
don't
in. I guess
know
I gotta
how
run it.
long. Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know how long I'm gonna keep my existing mesh system. I may switch to, there's some others that have a little bit better performance than the one I have. This is just one I bought in a pinch. But my Wi-Fi performance, every once in a while it'll go above 400 megabit, but it's usually right around 400 megabit. That's with the wire backhaul. It should be better than that. I've seen it better than that.
All right, can I ask a stupid question of you guys?
Sure.
How many devices do you have on your network?
Oh God.
Like 30 or something.
Yeah.
All right, I just looked. Now, some of them are VMs. I might have five VMs, but I have 53 devices right now.
We have
Let me check.
just in this room, I have one, two, three,
Doesn't show you on the router?
four.
Oh,
I can see
yeah,
the router.
I can hit it on my phone.
Mine is showing 30.
Mine says 43 currently. That's only because I don't have everything turned on, but that's also including all my Google Nest speakers, including the one in the basement. Not in the basement. Kitchen, I mean. Because I don't have a basement.
My son got a new laptop today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What again?
He got an MSI gaming laptop. It's okay. Got an i7 11th gen and a 3050 in it. 16 gigs of RAM. It's a beast.
Yeah, my Republic of Gaming laptop is a beast too, but it gets awfully hot.
Okay, I was going to break down and get a new Mac because I'm still rocking the 2012.
Yeah.
And the Mac, I want like a 16-inch with, you know, maxed out RAM, maxed out CPU, terabyte drive is like $3,800.
Yeah, that's a bit of an ouch.
Yep. Well, I found that I officially qualify for a new laptop in October. And I went to our corporate laptop page, you know, for my corporate work laptop. We are an M1 Pro is in the card, so that's probably where I'm going to go. And the main reason of that is we're doing a lot of Git stuff with GitHub. We basically are fully GitOps. We use a.
But why would you want M1 for that?
I had to order a new laptop for myself through work today.
Oof. That's because why would I want an M1? Because I do. and it does. And it doesn't have a touch bar. Well, I don't care. Yeah.
Alrighty, guys. We're doing the first mini or like second mini PC of the year, so I'm going to jump over there.
Okay. All right.
Cool.
All right.
Good seeing
Thanks
you.
Thanks for coming on, Rich.
Yeah. Good to talk to you.
See ya.
Show up more often.
Yeah. But Rich said, why am I going to M1? Because basically, I don't want a touch bar. and that is actually, that's the only thing they give out now is the M1 Pro. For that level, they do like maybe the regular MacBook, but that's not really suitable for what we do. So it'll be the latest MacBook Pro with the M1 Pro chip in it.
I just had to order one of those too.
Yep.
Joel. Yeah, it's I'm probably months out from getting it, but I have to replace this one because it just drives me nuts. So I didn't want the M1 chip because I don't think all the Java developments, you know, stuff that I do is available yet for it, which I will find out the hard way, you know, right when I, you know, start to get set up and whatnot. So
The only things I need is I need Git, so I need Git to work on it.
Yeah.
And we're using the Microsoft Visual Code as our editor.
That's the worst editor there is.
I've seen worse.
I should say when it comes to Java development, it does nothing. Yeah. Like they don't have. Yeah. It won't create a file with a .java extension on it. It won't put the class name. In the class definition, it won't put it in the package. I mean, it just is absurd. And people want to move to this. It blows my mind that people are willing to put up with that.
Well, I'm not that Java developer. We're gonna what I am gonna be working on is primarily Python, and Ansible, writing YAML files for Ansible, PowerShell. That's the only three things that we're going to be working on. So they wrote, it's kind of interesting too. We were using Jenkins and we're going to like Zap pipelines for a lot of our automation management and having everything pipelined instead of one-off or whatever they want to call it. But some smart guy in our company wrote a Slack bot that we use with Slack, and we can schedule YAML jobs, YAML playbooks, Ansible playbooks, I should say, via the Slack channel, which is actually pretty damn cool. but we're getting more into the engineering aspect of it, trying to bring as much our clients closer to standard than they are now, because there's a lot of things that, like, a good example is when a client I've been dealing with all week had a process where they were they had two different Java processes, one on our server, one on their on-prem server, and all of a sudden the latency on the network just jumped up to, like, it was like 41 milliseconds, and the process is it basically looks into the ERP system and extracts data, sends it to the other listener, then it gets sucked into a SQL database, okay? But when the latency started to creep up, now their job was starting to fail, right? We don't support that anymore. If a new client came in, we would say, well, you need to move your it's called a ODS, where it's basically object data store, I think. But basically, it's just a report database is what it is, really. And we're not going to support that being hosted on-prem anymore. So we went around changing things in AWS, trying to make it all work. Proved to them that, oh, there's something wrong with their network. So the only bad thing is they got to have a report run tomorrow sometime. So I'm hoping they were running one, and it took a long time for one file. Started it at 105, and I'll probably check it here after I get off the show. But it's not a super huge file, but it's just the network latency is preventing this thing from finishing properly. So,
do you have any monitoring in place that's like tracking that it is in fact the network that's causing this, or it's not something else?
Well, see, that's part of the problem. When it's an on-prem resource, we can't put anything on it that can prove that. Like with our AWS hosted instances, we have CloudWatch and all that, all the stuff that AWS gives you, as well as we use Datadog. We can put Datadog Agent Monitor to monitor that kind of stuff. But when it's on-prem, you know, it's not our server, we can't load it on it. I can't look into the other thing too is if somebody's trying to run reports against that database. When that's trying to be refreshed, it will create a lock, and that will prevent the refresh from happening. On our side, we have all sorts of monitoring on that. We have a process that monitors for database locks, and that will trigger a ticket, and we go in like a P2 ticket. We go in there and kill the database lock, and it moves on its merry way. When it's on-prem, we don't have the control. And there's reasons for standards, and some of the clients are gonna have to start realizing that, because another big thing is that we're moving a lot. We have a lot of our AWS instances that belong, technically are part of some of the Windows domains for some of our clients. We're gonna fix that. We're gonna bring them back into our domain, into special domain for that client. And then we're going to have the entire control on things and a lot more security around things, just so it'll just be better all over. Some aren't going to like it. End up terminating some of the access that they have. So, but, you know, we're going to be on the responsibility of maintaining uptime, then we have to have that control. But that all makes the Mac make more sense than it does the Windows laptop, because when the Windows laptop I have to install Git, I think it's built into Mac OS, I have to look. Even if it's not.
No, you got to do it with Homebrew.
Yeah.
For Git, just do Homebrew. That's easiest.
It doesn't take that much. So, and that connects to our Git servers. So, That way we can do the editing on our machine, merge it back into development, merge it from development to prod. Good shape then. We're even doing, we even have some jobs that are set up to change the S entries around for some of the clients. So we're doing that with automation now, where so you don't have to go to every single machine and change its IPs. So pretty nifty stuff. And we have to do that because we're nearing the point of if you combine our managed cloud servers and the SaaS, which we're one team now, the SaaS and the managed cloud are together. As we migrate more towards that, we have total between managed cloud and the SaaS over 100 customers, so we have to automate. Consider each customer can have servers at least, maybe more depending on if we're hosting other apps. So,
which CI did you say you were moving to? Zip Stream?
Zap.
What is it called? I don't think I've ever heard of that one.
It might be something we wrote. Might be very possible that's something we wrote, but Zap Pipelines is what they're calling it. But and that would be ZAPP, not XAP. It's mostly Ansible stuff.
Oh, it looks like it's a plugin for Jenkins.
Yeah. Or that. Or yeah.
I gotcha.
I haven't had
the best luck with Jenkins in doing like dealing with cloud stuff. It's just a beast, right?
Yeah.
But lately I've been working with GitHub Actions, but their enterprise version of it, which shitting you, is a year behind the public version of it. So it doesn't do things like caching artifacts between jobs and
not good.
Things you would expect to be there, you know, out of the box that like, you know, GitLab CI does or any of the other ones do, like, I mean, just natively, right? Like, I'm really kind of blown away that GitHub Actions Enterprise just sucks the way that it does.
Yeah. I don't get to choose that back end. We have to work with what the platform team gives us. So, we're getting there. You know, we're working on, we have an app home backup job that executes on a schedule. We don't have to. We were doing it with like PowerShell and cron jobs. They were just getting to be unreliable. And not good. So this stuff has a lot of validation in what it does. You know, if for some reason it loses, we'll say it fills a drive up when it's doing its job as it's doing the backup, which it can do. It'll alert us and let us know that it happens. And basically the goal is to for both DR recovery as well as being able to use it for clones, which is going to be automated soon. At least the majority of it is going to be completely automated. So we just execute like a job. And the only thing we have to do after that is all the post stuff. And at least in the first iteration, we're going to be adding more stuff to the iteration. So that's going to save us so much time because we can kick off 3 clones from one client and just monitor it. Not that we do 3 in a day for one admin, but it's gonna let us be significantly more successful than we are now. Because right now we're just, I want to say it, burnout. we can't treat servers like pets anymore. We have to treat them like cattle.
I will say, I have been kind of lucky the last 2 months here. I've gone from, you know, to Hawaii and all the way over to Germany, you know, in that time frame. So it was pretty freaking awesome. And work has been sending me to these places, right? So.
Yeah. I think one of the things, I might, fun. Yeah.
How did you like Germany?
That was great. We stayed in Heidelberg, and it's like an old city. Like there's this castle there that was built, started, I think, in the 1600s. It's, parts of it
Very
are like
cool.
just defunct, right? Like derelict, they're falling apart, but you could go all through the majority of it. The food was great, the area was great. I mean, it was just awesome over there. Now we were on a base, right? So it was, a ways away, but that was also something else too, just to be a part of all that, right? Like,
Were you on a base in Hawaii too? Yeah, my brother is in the military in Hawaii right now.
That one I took the whole family with. I said, get the girls out of school. We are all going to Hawaii.
There you go.
Yeah.
Nope. I can't do anything cool like that. Well, right now
Right
we
now.
haven't traveled. I haven't traveled for work since 2019. Yeah, because that was when I first joined the team. We had a in-person team meeting down in Lake Mary, Florida. That's Orlando area. Trying to remember if I got to meet up with Rich when I was down there anyway, because he at that time I think he was working in Orlando during the week. He lives out and his house is over in Jupiter. But that's the last time I traveled. So I think we're trying to get maybe the next time to happen soon, since a lot of the restrictions have lifted pretty much everywhere where we have started going back to offices.
It was
Or
definitely something flying back from the, because I flew from Germany to Heathrow and then back, and like
right.
didn't have to wear a mask or anything. I mean, you
There you
could if
go.
you
There you
wanted
go.
to, but I was like, yeah, they
You're dancing
Philly
like
when
nah.
I left, Philly had said, it don't matter, you gotta wear it. They overturned the ruling that came out of, where was it, Florida or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then by the time I was over there, they were like, I think it lasted like 4 days, and another judge like overturned the local Philly ruling on it. So I was like, all right, I don't have to just put a mask on to walk, through the airport to get to the car that was going to drive me home.
Right. Yeah, I know. But I think I don't think we'd have mask restrictions in office. I do know that they want us to be vaccinated, which is no problem. I've had three. I haven't gone for the fourth yet. I don't know if I want to go for the fourth yet. But if I have to, I will go for the fourth. But I've been really blessed. Not one of my family members got it. Well, in this house, none of us got
Oh,
it.
my wife has it right now. She's
Oh
down but locked
boy.
away. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's the levels in Ohio are they're non-existent now.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have a spike every once in a while, but I think it's just because they're not reporting as often. So if you spread it out, there's a lot of, like, if you look at Google for the numbers, at least in Ohio, there's like a lot of days where it's 0, 0, 0. Then we have 1,000, and I'm like, well, why didn't we have 0 for the last week?
Right.
Doesn't make sense.
My brother had it. He's a teacher. See, this is the thing. I think my wife got, she did a volunteer thing over at the school, and then had it by like last, what was it, Sunday she took a test, and then she found that, she did two of them right away, and like had both of them, both of them were positive, right? But my brother had it. He's
Oh, they got him.
He told me tonight that his wife and his 3-year-old both got it now too.
Yeah, I had the only ones that in my expanded family, none of my family in Tennessee got it. But my brother-in-law and his wife, actually his whole family got it. But they just went on a cruise.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, well, no wonder. That's been the one of the larger spreaders of COVID.
Cruise
Yeah,
ships.
yeah.
No,
I'm just over a
absolutely.
year of having it myself. Like when I had, and I didn't have this variant. I had the mother load. You know what I mean?
Right,
Like
right, right, right.
I was laid up for at least 2 weeks, and then another 3 weeks of just extra stuff on top of that, like weird things, like just phantom, like not phantom, but this strange just jaw pain just came in and would spread across my head and come back, right? And then within 3 weeks, it was gone. Significantly drop in blood pressure, right? Like, and it was just nuts, like what had happened.
You didn't have the one where you'd lose your
smell or taste. I didn't lose any smell or taste, but I had the full blown. There were no, you know, they had no vaccines, no nothing, right? Like at the time.
At that time, right? Yeah. Yeah, we've been blessed with that, but that's probably gonna be the next time we go. I'm also trying to lobby. I'm gonna try and work with one of our service delivery managers. We're gonna try and put like a presentation together for our next user group. We call it eLife or Elution Live. What we want to do is basically put together. How do you more easily work with cloud? You know, what do you need to do to be a good partner, essentially? You know, so it's like talking about planning your changes, you know, and most of that happens on their side. And things like, for example, when you put a case in, don't give me something that says it broke. Give me more information.
Yeah, you need to supply evidence as to what's going on, right?
That's so. Right. That's,
yeah. After 5 years, you know, my team is finally pushing back because we got audited several times, and we're trying to enforce that whole lead time before a release, you know, like you're supposed to have.
Yep.
And so now, you know, the developers are like, no, we can't do this because we don't know what's going in the release until the last minute. And it's like, well, then push it 5 days further back from that. Yep.
See,
well,
our
we can't
cases,
do that. The business moves too fast. It's not my problem.
Yeah, it's nothing like that with us, you know, because it. But it's usually like, for good example here is, we have what they call optional modules. Okay. Well, like yesterday, they get an email from their professional services person, also works for us. It says that they need all these optional modules installed in a non-prod. And I'm like, okay. And when is your engagement? Oh, it's this afternoon. I'm like, all right, let me see if I can find someone. Oh, that's also true. Like you might have seen it on Facebook, Dan, but since the last time we talked, I got promoted. I am now a cloud engineering technical lead for my team.
Congrats.
Yeah, so doing a lot more of managerial kind of. I'm not a manager, but I do more management style things. Like, for example, I'm one of the leads on our standards committee. I also pretty much get involved in a lot of the escalations like I have been this week. We're doing the stand-up. In fact, once we change to the new version of Snow, or ServiceNow, that's what we call Snow, we're going to go to Visual Task Boards for the stand-up stuff that we have a stand-up channel in Slack now that's going to go away. And any of their escalations are going to go into Visual Task Boards. So it's going to basically help us run our scrums. Our stand-up, I should say. Our stand-up is like the only time we ever talk with SDMs as a group, service delivery managers as a group. We're going to that for that. And then our scrums are going to be a little bit different, too. But... So that's kind of the stuff I'm going to be managing.
Go ahead and click that link and let me know if you think it's real or not.
I don't like the M word there, Joel.
Oh, management? Yeah. That doesn't look real. At all. 4380 Ti, no way.
Yeah. Oh, you know, what's weird, though, is it's local pickup. There's no, like, ship to thing at the bottom. So If it is a scam, it's not a very good one.
The size looks okay, but every 380 Ti looks much more fancy than that.
It's a 3080 Ti Founders Edition, and the guy is saying $100.
Yeah.
That, to me, that screams no.
Yep.
Never used, it says. Never used, right there.
Not good.
I got sucker painted on my forehead. Brand new, never opened. Except, you know, the box is open right there.
Yep. Okay. So we talked about some of the Google stuff, and we had a bunch of stuff in the middle. Let's kind of try and finish some of that. I know the one thing that I'm most excited about is Google's getting back in the tablet game. That makes me very, very happy.
They've been talking about like an actual like a Google or like a Nest Hub Max that's a tablet as well.
Right.
I've been seeing, but I didn't see anything come out about that. Maybe. I know they do like a more of like a home centered thing in later on, like September timeframe. So I wonder if we'll see something like that then. But it makes sense, right? I mean, if you have a display, why wouldn't you be able to pick it up and use it as like a tablet or something like that, right?
Yep. Well, that's like the other announcement. This one, I'm a little first off, there's a reason I don't have the Nest Max yet, and that's I'm not too keen on having cameras that are internet connected being pointed inside my house.
But you don't have to have them on. I have one in my kitchen, and the camera stays off until everybody leaves the house, and that's when it comes on as a part of the security system.
Right. But they need to have
the lights are on, right? I'll see like if for some reason or another somebody was in the house, right?
But they got a new feature now where you don't have to say the keyword when your face is in front of the camera, and I'm like
That's okay. It's still able to do the face detection and all that. It's not recording. It's not recording video and storing video. You can't go look at like events that I walked in front of it, right? Because it's set to be off.
Yeah, we'll see. I like the fact that that has a bigger screen. I do know you can turn the camera off, so I probably would most of the time.
I think it even has like a physical switch too.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I never use it because I have it always set to off anyway, you know?
Because actually, that would be a one thing I would probably do. What I do is replace it was originally called the Home Hub, but I guess it's the Nest Hub now, whatever. The original one. That's in my kitchen. I would put the bigger one down there and then bring the little one up here. The one thing I do like about it, and it kind of, I think, I don't know if it does this by voice or how it does it, or if it's just random, but a lot of times it seems like every time I walk towards it in the kitchen, it brings up like the thermostat display and all that stuff. Cause my house has a smart thermostat now that's compatible. It also has, we also have a MyQ compatible garage door. I'll use that on occasion. Actually, what I end up using the MyQ more for is asking Google if the garage door's open.
I did it the other day. We drove away, and I was oh geez, did I close the garage door? And I could just ask it real quick.
It
just closed it, right?
Yeah. See, it's supposed to be able to tie into. We have an alarm.com system, which is ADT's smart home thing. It came with the house. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I remember you talking about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And for whatever reason, I can't seem to get it connected to it. And I think what it might be is it'll connect to Google Home, which I actually prefer, or it'll connect to that, which then would connect to Google Home. Because the alarm.com will do that too. It's strange. It's the same thing with the door lock. They did program the door lock to connect to the alarm.com panel, so that works wonderfully. All right. But I can't load whatever the, I forget which lock company it is. It's one of the popular ones. But I can't use their app to control it at the same time. So it's either you do it with alarm.com or their app.
That's where we need to get on the matter as quickly as we can, so we can stop dealing with all these stupid little apps for everything and just have one. You know? They had a subsequent keynote on the updates for Google Home, specifically around like Matter support, how it's coming, and Fast Pair is going to be the thing that kind of drives the connection to everything. So whether it's your phone or a display or something like that, it's going to be able to just initiate that Fast Pair for you. All of their devices, even going back as far as like the original, like Nest, you know, the Nest Hub Minis, whatever the original one was, like they are all going to become Matter controllers. And then the Nest Wi-Fi, the Nest Hub Max, and the second gen Nest Hub are going to be the Thread border routers. You can hook up like longer distance things, like they say, like things like in your backyard versus like right there in the room, you know, type of thing. So.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually I'd like
stuff.
To add
lots like of stuff add around that.
Yeah. Eventually I'd like to add cameras only to the outside of the house. Like I'd like to put one pointing in the driveway.
Yeah, I did that. I love going and you can filter it by like animal. So I find all the animals that like in the middle of the night that just roam around my property.
And then I'd like to put one
cats and foxes and deer and all coming in at all hours of the night.
I'd like to put one like attached to this to where this the side of the house where the screen room is pointing at my pit boss. All right. Because I don't have it. Well, what I probably should do is I probably should go get a piece of rebar and drive it into the ground. Maybe rebar with like a lock, like a way to lock it onto it. I can lock the dang thing to the concrete pad that it's sitting on right now. But right now it's just sitting there. I don't anticipate too much of a problem because our town's pretty good. But if I had a camera there, at least I could be more rest assured that if somebody does steal it, I can at least get some sort of identification. you know, but but that's, I mean, for cloud connected cameras, the outside are the only ones I'm really, really comfortable with leaving on all the time. You know, in our area, and main reason for the driveway one is in our area, got a lot of people roaming around cutting off catalytic converters off cars.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. They just caught.
Yeah, it's a thing everywhere.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it is. But they just caught a man or wife who had in their house, they had about 24 converters sitting in their house. And over the years, they had sold enough to make $324,000.
Goodness.
I don't think I'd have a problem. The only car that's parked out there is my new Traverse that I got after my accident last year. And we did buy Luke a new car. We bought a Chevy Trailblazer RS. And yeah, that sits in the garage. I put mine in the garage too, but the problem is my house has this, probably if I wanted to put both cars in there, I couldn't keep anything out there. Okay? So I have like, I wouldn't know where to put my camping gear and stuff like that if I wanted to park both cars in there, because right now it would just be too tight. So the upside is I don't have a pole in the middle of the garage like I had in my old house. But it's like, I don't know what it is with builders. They probably could have, if they added another 4 feet.
You got rid of your stripper pole? I
thought
that was
all
your exercise.
No. The old house had one of them steel posts in the middle of the garage. But also, at least, and here's the other thing I found out too about the house, man, Dan. We have all these, they look like can lights in the ceiling. in every room. They are the kind that have the LEDs integrated into the fixture, which means
yeah.
Yeah,
I have sucks. Those here too. Yeah.
Yeah, so if I have a problem with them burning out, what I probably will do is replace them with cans that have, well, I don't even know if there's enough room in the ceiling to do that though, now I'm thinking about it.
There should be. There should be a rafter up there that you could fit a can. I did that down in, I put two above my, they go on either side of like my fireplace where the TV is hanging above it and whatnot. And
right.
I've got some Hue lights in there and stuff like that. And they actually are hooked up so that they change colors as the TV changes and all. It's pretty cool looking, right? But you have to get like a, they call them like retrofit.
Right.
Cans, like you can, or they have like all kind of retrofit boxes for like outlets. You can go and get,
right.
You just cut it, you know, a clean circle. You can shove it up in there and then get it to, you know, get the, if the wiring's already there,
you're good to go. Yeah,
right?
I don't want to put boob lights in there. You know, the kind that look like boobs, you know, the glass domes on them. Yeah, I don't want to do that, but I definitely want to have, if I replace them, I would try and replace them with something like that so I can put smart bulbs in them. Or the alternative, and this actually might be easier to do, I can probably call, I think I may be able to call ADT. Say I want to take some of the switches and make them smart switches, because one of my switches is a smart switch. Now, if I can just get my son to stop from hitting the button, it would work properly.
which smart switch is it? Is it like
it's an easy wave. And it's worked, it's designed to work with the alarm.com system. So, and since that ties into Google, I have a routine in Google that turns on the light at sunset, turns off the light at sunrise.
Right.
But during the day, my son will turn them on all the time. I'm like, wow, burning my electric.
I can't tell you how many times I walk by my kid's bathroom and the lights are on and it's still drives me nuts. I gotta put a motion detector in there to at least turn one of them off.
Yeah, I'm the same way with
for 15 minutes or so.
Yeah, my son will leave the can lights on everywhere. It's like, I'm like, I know they're all, the upside is they are all LED, so they're burning a whole lot less power than any bulbs that we've ever had. But it's like, it's the daytime, he's got all the lights on. I'm like, dude, lights shining through the window.
I have mine gradually turn on at about 45 minutes to sunset.
Right.
And the majority of them all shut off. When I say goodnight, and they all shut off, right? Except for I have some outside ones that stay on throughout the night, and then they just come on, they just shut off either at like sun up or at 8 o'clock in the morning or so, something like that, you know?
Now, the cool thing is, because they do have these lights built in the ceiling, which this is the only house I've ever had to had that, okay? Except my apartment had that, but our original house was built in the 90s, and they weren't putting lights in ceilings then.
They'd have a switch to a plug, right?
Yeah, in most
yeah. Places. Yeah.
Yep. And there is one of those in this house, only one, but it works out. Because what I did, this is the first year in a long time I put out, we have this little glass village set at Christmas time. And I set it up on top of the TV stand. And then I have that plugged into that switch, so it makes it easy to turn that on and off. But that's the only one in the house. Nice. It's like, works for me. So what I'm probably going to do, at least in the office up here, I'm probably going to get like a second lamp, like just a regular lamp, because sometimes I just don't want to turn on the ceiling lights because they're really bright. Just something, just a light, like my area where I'm working, a little bit more subdued. Yeah. But, I haven't looked at it close enough to see if these ones will let me adjust the temperature. Because if so, I'd probably adjust it so it's a little I don't know if I want to go cooler or warmer. Probably cooler. But we'll see. I haven't really gotten up on a ladder to look at them much, except for when I went to. I noticed the other day, and it must have been leftover from construction, but they got the same kind of fixture out in my porch. And I looked up, and there's a whole bunch of crap in it. And I'm like, did that much bugs come already? House isn't even a year old.
Oh, yeah.
So I got up on a ladder.
If you take it down, you could probably put like a little bead of like silicone or something like that around like where the glasses are, just to give it a seal to keep the those things from getting in there. You know.
I don't need to do that because what it was is I removed the lens and it was all sawdust.
Oh, okay.
It's from construction.
Gotcha.
So it's like oh okay, yeah, just dumped it out and it's fine. Now, I did have to go and tighten. We have coach lights on either side of the garage. I just noticed one day that one of them was really loose, so I went and tightened that up. Unfortunately, but we have our 11-month inspection coming up later this month, so they're going to go fix some all the little things like. One of the trim strips going up the steps is coming away from the wall already.
Ooh.
Yeah, they're going to fix that. And then
nail pops and stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff like that. You know, I've got like a. I don't have a problem with it, but the garage, the service door going into the garage, my wife and my son say, my son will slam it. And he'll do that like multiple times. He's like, "Don't close it right." I'm like, "I don't know what you're doing wrong. I don't have a problem. I haven't had one problem." They said that with the front door too. So we'll have them look at that stuff, you know, and get all those little things fixed. But at that point, I think we go into like the long term things, like the structural warranties and stuff like that.
Right.
And. Which means at that point, if anything really breaks, it's on me. So, but, and we did finally get, I'm excited because Saturday we're going to be able to, we got a patio set for our screen room. And I had to look long and hard to find one like my wife likes, because wicker is so popular and she doesn't like wicker. So we did find one. So, but. I ordered it from Lowe's via their app, right in the store, and I chose delivery. After it was all done, I go back to it and it says, the chairs are being delivered tomorrow, and which was Saturday, and you can pick up the table next Saturday, and you have to pick it up at such and such Lowe's.
It's not going to be delivered as well. You got to go pick it up.
Yes. Fortunately, I think it will fit in the back of my Traverse. It's only like 41 by 41, so not a big table.
Yeah, well, it probably has to be put together, right? I'm assuming.
Chairs didn't. Chairs came all put together. So
that I see, but the table, I mean, if it's only 41 by 41...
That's the tabletop. So, I mean, yeah, I don't care either way. I don't mind putting stuff together, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear.
But if it's together, though, it would be a pain in the ass to move. I'm just hoping if it doesn't fit, what I'll probably do is leave the table at Lowe's with my wife. Well, or maybe have them watch it for me and then run and go get a rent a pickup to bring it home.
Well, they might even rent that right there for you. Home Depot has them. I think Lowe's has them. Yeah, you could just rent a truck right there.
Yep. And that wouldn't cost that much. We're talking maybe $20. So, I mean, you know, I don't care. I wanted it all delivered, though. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like,
right?
Because that's like I ordered like that's how I'm starting to do all my IKEA stuff. Whenever I want to order something new from IKEA, is I order it, have them deliver it. Because then that way I don't have to lift it in my car, get out of the car, and I usually don't get any help from either of them, the wife or the son. So I have to struggle. Usually what I end up doing in those cases, if I have to take that flat pack furniture home in our car, is I'll open the box in the car and carry the pieces inside, because it's so much easier. But it's a hassle. But it's like, if I had like a cabinet that I needed for the office up here delivered, and they just put it right inside my front door, I'm like, that works. You know, because then I can break it apart inside and then take it upstairs and put it together, and that's what I did. So I got like a, well, actually, it's not a cabinet. It's like a chest of drawers. It's more like a dresser, but it works great for keeping stuff into my office. So best I can call it is, it might be like a credenza, but it doesn't have like file folders or anything like paper. But that's my latest house saga. And the pork was good, and I have leftovers for lunch tomorrow. Some low sugar sauce on it. For this, I might go down and get me some Carb Smart ice cream.
Gotcha.
So, calories in, calories out.
That's always all it is.
Still wrong.
Not for weight loss. For overall health, yes, but not for weight loss.
Yep.
I'm quite willing to argue with it.
I can start going into a whole diatribe about it if you like. But I know it's getting late. I know it's getting late.
Well, like I said, for overall health, there's more to the equation than just calories in, calories out. But when it comes to actual weight loss, it is calories in, calories out.
But that's assuming a calorie is a calorie is a calorie. And it's not.
The sources of these calories. Protein has a higher thermic effect. So you burn more calories than actually digesting it. Doesn't mean that the equation of calories in, calories out doesn't actually work.
I'm not saying calories don't matter. I'm just saying like the emphasis on calories in, calories out expects that this. It thinks it's a function of fluid dynamics, right? And it's not the case when. The body processes these things in different manners, stores them at different rates and whatnot. So calories in, calories out doesn't make any sense in that respect.
Well, like I said, protein takes more energy, more out to actually digest it. So the higher thermic effect of protein means that less of those calories will get stored within the body, but that's still more in the out column. As you're taking it in. Same thing with fat versus carbs. Right?
Sorry, the button keeps going away on me here. Yes, I would agree with that. Yes.
Excellent. Just took all the fun out of the argument.
The one thing they didn't talk about at Google I.O., which I wish they did, or maybe they might do it in a smaller presentation later, is I'd love it if they make some changes to Android Auto. I freaking love it, but it's not perfect.
I think on the I.O. schedule, there were talks, there was the Android Auto and Android Automotive sessions coming up, but it's probably going to be very, very developer-focused, not...
Yeah.
Although now they're teamed up with McLaren, right? Like, so you might be seeing some other things popping out because of that.
But see, I got a couple complaints about it. One is, I always do. Usually, when I drive around, I'll have, even if I don't need it for navigation, I'll have the map up anyway. And I wish there was a way that you can literally split the screen so that on one half you had the map and the other half you had the media controls. That's one thing I'd like if they
what they showed on the tablet. It's probably
That would be ideal, at least for the way I drive. Okay. Especially if I'm listening to podcasts or something like I'm gonna be driving to the Southeast Linux Fest by myself. And I would love it if I had something like that. The other thing, and this is not just a Google thing, it's also with CarPlay, is whenever either of them are up, you know, because my wife has an iPhone. Actually, I have one too. My work phone is an iPhone. But whenever either of them are in use, there's no easy way on the screen to, unless you hit the home button and go back and forth to control the actual radio, because we do pay for SiriusXM. So, and if I don't want to listen to podcasts, or if I don't have a playlist in YouTube Music downloaded, that's the best way for me to get entertainment while I'm driving along. Because I gotta have something to listen to when I'm driving along, especially when I'm by myself. just to keep me from dozing, possibly, you know. So there's no real easy way within either interface to access those features. That's probably more of
More of a
a.
that's probably more where like something like Android Automotive is going to take it, where it takes over everything. HVAC, it takes over, you know, the windows and door lock, right? Like all that stuff becomes just the touch screen, right?
Yeah, actually, if I bought a car and it just had Google Android Auto or Google Automotive or whatever it is running it, that would be ideal because most car companies' software sucks balls. I don't like it. I will say my 2022 Traverse is a much better system than my old car had, but it's still not great. It works. I'll give it that much, but it's definitely not my ideal way of driving a car. But most of the time I don't listen to the radio anyway. Like I'll probably have a bunch of podcasts queued up on my way to Charlotte and on the way back, same thing. Or YouTube Music, I've been using a lot more lately. I don't like that it went away from Play Music, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Yep. It's
I'll tell you this,
amazing.
we have got rescheduled tickets to see Poison later this year, right? Because
Ooh.
this was before the pandemic happened, right? So there happened. So I've been listening to a lot of Poison lately, and it's been awesome because I've been going back to all this old 80s hair metal stuff, right? And finding new things that I hadn't either forgot about or just or haven't heard in a long, long time.
It's like I've been putting together an 80s music playlist on YouTube Music. But the one of the things I like about it is because you can see other people's playlists too. The Google has some curated ones too. It's like there was a hair band, 80s hair band playlist. I said, "Oh, cool. Add that to mine." So now I got like over 200 tracks in one playlist. So
It's like,
look on it is Giving Yourself Away by Rat on there, because I've been digging that song lately, and I honestly had never heard, I don't remember ever hearing that song growing up as a kid, right? And I'm like, huh, I'm really digging this song a lot lately. Like, I don't know why, but I just am.
Well, there's if you've ever seen the show That 80s Show, which is only made one season. But they had their title song.
Because it was horrible.
Oh yeah,
it wasn't a good show.
No,
After That 70s Show, it wasn't a good show. Although you see
no,
that
no.
there is a new another one coming out for the
That
90s.
90s Show. But you're going the smart
But
route.
yeah, it's all the characters from That 70s Show.
Right, Red and Kitty are going to be in it. So,
Right, yeah.
that's where it's going to win. But the song they used for the 80s show was called 80s, and it's by a Killing Joke, I think. In that, the whole song is on YouTube Music, so.
And didn't both of them, the 80s show and the 70s show, have Tommy Chong?
No,
I think they did. Yes. I think you're right. I think they did.
maybe it's in that one episode I didn't watch, because most of those episodes are actually on YouTube. But
By the way, Joel, I've been looking at the new home.google.com site out here, and they have a whole thing for featured devices, and you can get yourself a smart big ass fan i6. I've never heard of that brand before, but I'm digging it.
I like the name. I actually still have to tear apart the Apple IIc I got on eBay. Get up on it.
Whoa, that sucker is $1,750.
Whoa, for a fan?
For a fan?
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Pass. Actually, I've been thinking about picking up a fan from my office because it's the room over the garage. It's the hottest room, in the house.
It's 60 inches across. 60 inches diameter.
That would be air conditioning in the room over the garage. Well, there is air conditioning.
It's still got to be hard to cool because you're sitting right over top of the garage, which probably isn't air conditioned and thinly insulated. And you know what hot air does.
Its insulation's pretty good, but...
Yeah, is the door for the garage insulated?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, it... But it's this, like, I have blackout drapes on there, and I actually 3D printed some clips so that they're completely shut to hopefully avoid some of the heat. And plus, I think the overheads, even though they're LED, I think they do get warm. That's kind of another reason I want to get a different light that can be a little more subdued.
I'm pretty sure you can hear my fan.
Yep.
Yeah, but I paid $35 for a garage fan, and then I hooked it up to a smart switch.
There you go.
So,
yeah, but it's funny. As I'm walking down my steps, I can literally feel about halfway down the steps, it feels fine. Okay, but up here, it's not too bad in the summer actually, because at least the air conditioner's on. But it's the spring. The last few weeks, my wife and I, smart thermostat, right? So I was turning off the heat, turning on the air conditioner, and turning it down like to a ridiculously low level, or turning the heat down to that too, because it was getting so warm up here. I'm like, she should have took this place, and I should have took her office because I'm hot. But I wouldn't have enough room in the room she's in for her office. But anyway.
Yeah, I keep waiting for one of my kids to move out.
Yeah.
So I can turn whatever bedroom into
guest
room / office area cave. That's really close to the bedroom. Well, no, I wouldn't turn it into the man cave. I'd still have the garage as the man cave, but I would have a nice workspace inside the house, so that way when it's like 140 outside, I have someplace cool to go.
Yeah. My next thing is to see if I could build a fan that blows the air from downstairs up the stairs, then that might help things a little bit. I mean, it's not completely horrible, okay? You know, I'm not.
It's also not, you know, it's just July. Not.
Yes, yet. It was 80 in the 80s this week, so. But it's like, yeah. The 2 months of summer that we were here, July and August, it was not too bad, so I'm thinking we're going to be fine. But yeah, this is definitely, doesn't matter what time of the year, it's definitely the warmest room in the house, so.
Well, your air conditioner's not doing a job?
No, it's doing it. Doing it, it's blown right. It blows right on my legs when I'm sitting at work. So, in the winter, I usually just turn the vents off up here.
So you need a better air conditioner, is what you're saying?
No.
Need a window unit.
Oh, I wouldn't be allowed to put that up here.
Why wouldn't you be allowed to put it up there?
HOA, because that's space in the front. It would look bad.
No window units in most HOAs.
Yep. It's okay, though. I mean, downstairs is perfect.
But gotta disguise it as something else then.
I wish I could. But I mean, I can make it comfortable up here, okay? But it's just an imbalance, you know. If it's comfortable up here, then it's too cold downstairs. That's basically the only thing.
Ooh, you make an extension for your window unit air conditioner, so it doesn't actually stick out the window. Then they can't say anything.
Well, hey guys, I gotta bail.
Yep, getting late.
Keep talking with y'all.
Yep.
Reminder of the listeners.
Come back.
Yes, please come back.
Thank you on the show.
Yeah, I'll try as time allows.
Yep. So, just a reminder: Southeast Linux Fest is coming up in person, June 10th, 11th, and 12th at the Sheraton Charlotte Airport. It's officially official now. There are the call for papers is out. You do have until the initial decisions will be made probably this weekend. But the final drop dead is going to be May 22nd, and then they'll get everything scheduled. Once the schedule's up, they will open up registration so you can pay and get your cool T-shirt, which I'm probably going to do just because. I'm kind of amazed that they've been able to keep up and be able to do the show again. Not because of COVID or anything, but more because of costs and money. And I want to support the Southeast Linux Fest. So, anyway, this has been the Linux Link Tech Show. Y'all have a great one. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, talk to you later.
It's your cool T-shirt. Which I'm probably going to do, just because... I'm kind of amazed that they've been able to keep up and be able to do the show again. Not because of COVID or anything, but more because of costs and money. And I want to support the Southeast Linux Fest. So, anyway, this has been the Linux Link Tech Show. Y'all have a great one. We'll talk to you later.
Yep, talk to you later.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.